Recording begins. Okay, Chefra, we spoke about the distinctions between the Kli Rishon and the Kli Sheni in the conceptual sort of way. How come, as Tysis asked, how come Kli Rishon is Mevashel and Kli Sheni is not Mevashel? And yesterday we spoke about two of the in-between cases between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. Meaning the case of Iroi, which is machlokas between the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam, and perhaps is a third shita of the Ri. And we also discussed the din of Matzekes, the din of a ladle, whether a ladle is considered an independent keli, thereby rendering the thing after the ladle like a kli shlishi, or whether I assume that a ladle is not considered an independent keli. These were our conversations yesterday. There is a third in-between issue, a third question about whether it's considered a Kli Rishon or a Kli Sheni, and that's the famous issue of Davar Gush. Davar Gush. What's the story of a hot, solid mass of an item? The Magen Avraham at the very end of Simin Shin Yud Ches and Sif Yud Ches tells me that if I have but I was looking in Shin Yud Tes, that's why I didn't find it. Shin Yud Tes, Sif Yud Tes. Asur latuach shemen ushum al hatzli ba'odo k'neged hamadura. Afil nitzla hatzli mi ba'odion mikomach mispasha ushum b'hashemen. If I have some roasted meat that's next to the fire is mamish roasted on an open fire. You can't put oil or garlic on it, mibaod yom, because it's going to cook. Zak the Magen Avraham in Seif Katan Memhe. You see from this din that Davar Gush is Mevashel. You see from this halacha that a solid mass is going to be Mevashel, and that's why you can't put the garlic and the oil on top of the tzli that was Eitzah Ha'ech. Ad kan divrei HaMagen Avraham. This position that the Magen Avraham is quoting is the position of the Maharshal. And that's what he notes. He says, like the Maharshal says, that Maharshal is quoted famously in the Shach of Yerideya, Simin Kufhei, Se'if Katin Ches. The Ramah there in Yerideya paskens that a Davar Gush, which is in a Kli Sheni, has a din of a Kli Sheni. Meaning, we know that for Basar B'Cholav, the din of Basar B'Cholav is only if it's mamish cooking. We know that for Sha'ari Surim, the din of Bliya only sets in if there is Bliya Ayyadei Chom, and the Kli Sheni is not considered Ayyadei Chom. The Ramah paskens there in Simen Kufhei that if I have a Davar Gush that is currently in the Kli Sheni, that the Davar Gush is not going to create any issues of Bliyos. It's not a problem at all. That's what the Ramah says. Comes along the Shach, Sivkatin Ches, and the Shach says, although that is the position of the Ramah, and the Ramah writes this way in his Sefer on Kashas, the Tiras Chatos, but it is against the Maharshal, that Maharshal that we just noted a few moments ago, and it's also against the Sefer Iser V'Heter Ha'aruch. The Iser V'Heter is one of the classical works in Yerideya. It is most often attributed to Rabbeinu Yonah, but it's probably written by some other Jew named Yonah who probably also had a beard. It's not Rabbeinu Yonah of Gerundi. If you look in the Shaar Blat of the old Iser V'Heters, they try to attribute it to Rabbeinu Yonah, but it's not true. So Zuck the Shach, that the Maharshal and the Iser V'Heter paskin that Davar Gush creates a problem. And he says, I have a raya to them. Because Tosfos on Memamed Beis and Shabbos, when speaking about the distinction between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni, Tosfos tells me that a Kli Rishon, it's Dofnos of Mechamimos, but Kli Sheni, it's Holecho Mistarer. Kli Sheni gets cooler over time. A Davar Gush, by definition, is not impacted on by the walls. One of the things that they taught me in Yeshiva Far Rockaway High School is that the difference between the liquid and the solid is that the liquid takes on the shape of the container. The solid does not take on the shape of the container. Consequently, the Dover Gush, the solid item, the solid substance, is considered not like a Kli Sheni, has a din of a Kli Rishon, because it does not hold Eichel Miskarer. It doesn't get colder because of the walls, because the walls don't impact the Dover Gush at all. It doesn't take on the shape of the container. Ad kan divrei hashach, and hence the Shach paskins like the Maharshal and the Isser Beheter. Let's take a deep breath. The Shach in Yerideya is known for homogenizing, meaning he takes lots of different shitos and he says, v'chein kasav, v'chein kasav, v'chein kasav. When you break open the books, you recognize that, and the Shach should forgive me for saying this, but the Shach is lying. Because the Shach says that Maharshal and the Isser V'Heter, for example, in this case, say the same thing, but they don't. The Isser V'Heter writes that if I cut a piece of boiling meat with a milchige knife, it mamish becomes basar b'chalav min hateva. Meaning, the Isser V'Heter uses the lashon that it is mivashel. It's mivashel, it cooks. The Maharshal never uses the expression that Dover Gush cooks. The Maharshal uses the expression that Dover Gush is boleya. It absorbs. But the Maharshal never uses the term that it cooks. In Yerideya purposes, this is obviously important for Basar B'Cholov, but for our Limud, it's equally important because in Hilchas Shabbos, let's be honest, I don't care if there's Bliya. I couldn't care less if there's absorption in Hilchas Shabbos. What I care about is whether it's Mevashel. If I take the Maharshal seriously, so then there is no Bishul by Dover Gush. There's only Bliya, and therefore the Maharshal, the Dover Gush of the Maharshal is irrelevant for Hilchas Shabbos. The Dover Gush of the Isser V'Heter might be relevant for Hilchas Shabbos, but the Dover Gush of the Maharshal is not relevant for Hilchas Shabbos. Let's talk about another Nakuda. If you read the Maharshal and the Isser V'Heter carefully, they disagree about another prat within Dover Gush. Let's say I have something like rice. Rice, is it a solid or is it a liquid?
Solid.
It's a solid, but does it take on the shape of the container that it's in?
Yes.
Yes! So tell me, excellent. So is rice a Dover Gush or is rice not a Dover Gush?
If a rice ball, yes.
So if it's a rice ball, it is a Dover Gush. Even the rice ball is just stuck together because like there's moisture.
So would you say the same thing about pasta?
The same thing about pasta, perhaps. Yeah. In other words, again, at least small pasta.
But it's not a Dover Gush. It's just a lot of small things.
So if you have a lot of small things, is that called a Dover Gush? I know I have different people speaking. Mr. Kamenetsky, yeah.
Why is the solidity of the item important?
I'll tell you why. Because if the yisod of Dover Gush is the way the Shach says it, based on our Tosfos of Mem Amid Beis, whether there's Defanos Mekareros, so l'cha'ora, if I have a granular item, so the Defanos impact on it, right? A big chunk. The Defanos have no shaykhis to it. But if I have a granular item, rice, small pasta, and the like, it could be that the Defanos really impact on it, no? Im kenim hadavarim. So it's worth analyzing whether rice is a davar gush. And, hello davar hu, there is a machlokas between the Isser V'Heter and the Maharshal on this Nakuda, no? the Iser Veheter tells me that the Iser Veheter gives a list of stuff which is a Dover Gush, and that list does not include Oibis. The Maharshal gives a list of stuff that's Dover Gush, and the list does include Oibis. Is this a compelling proof? Not exactly. I don't know if the Iser Veheter is necessarily telling me every single thing which is a Dover Gush, but he omits Oibis. And the Maharshal includes Oibis. If that's the case, Hanir Lofianius Daiti is Azoy. If a Machmir and Dover Gush in Hilchos Shabbos, I am an Iser Veheter yet. I'm not a Maharshal yet. Right? Because the Maharshal never says it's Mevashel. If I'm an Iser Veheter yid, so then Orez is not listed among the Dover Gushes. Now, I, the Svara of Defanos Mekarerais, so Yesh La'ayin, whether this is 100% true. If I have flour in a container, the container just makes sure the flour doesn't dissipate. It doesn't spill all over the place. But I don't know if something is mamish, a solid. I don't know that the defanos are not impacting on it. Alternatively, I could say that the distinction at hand is whether to be a kli rishon, it has to be defanos mechamimos, or to be a kli sheni, it's defanos mekaveros. And if I have something in between, I'm not sure what the din is. Maybe that's a question of the Iser Veheter, Maharshal, Shach, whoever, Magen Avraham, whoever I want to talk about, Dover Gush. But it would seem to me, just like if I play the name game in Judaism. So if I'm machmir that Dover Gush is Mevashel, so then I'm not machmir on rice. No, nafgamina is cholent, okay? The people have a recipe for cholent. So the minika olam is that you have potatoes in cholent. You have beans and barley in cholent, no? Potatoes are a Dover Gush in the dugma klasit of Dover Gush. A potato is mamish a klumpy zach. Right? That's a potato. The defanos have zero impact on the potato. Barley, beans. Ken Zayn, l'chora, that these things are more of a Dover Gush. Blah, blah, blah. Ken Zayn, these things are not a full-fledged Dover Gush. Right? It's more like the Orez. If that's the case, so it would seem that if you want to be machmir on Dover Gush, and the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat and Memhei quotes the Chumrah of Dover Gush, but L'cha'ayra, the Chumrah of Dover Gush is only reasonable in Hilchos Shabbos, where it's a din of Mevashel, it's only reasonable on a potato, where the Iser Veheter is also machmir. So therefore, on the potato, I should be careful. But on the beans and the barley, I should not be careful. Nafgamina. Let me just finish the sentence and I'll hear from you, Aryeh. Do you need a separate plate for your cholent? Minhag Yisrael Kedoshim. Is at Shabbos lunch you have salad? My lettuce was never cooked. No? No bishul achar bishul by lettuce. Do I have to worry that my lettuce is going to come in contact with my cholent? And perhaps be mevashel the lettuce, right? You can hear nervous briskers already. You need a separate plate for your cholent? Well, I would say that if you make sure that the potato for the cholent stays over here, even if the beans and the barley spread a little bit, like they do, I don't have to really be nervous about the beans and barley coming in contact with my cholent. That's the way I would dissect the sugya. Mr. Kamenetsky now has a rebuttal.
Not a rebuttal, it's a clarification. Request for clarification. There's a little confused how the concept of defanos interfaces with the sugya. We're saying that a Dover Gush doesn't have defanos because it's solid and whatever is touching it is not encapsulated by it.
Correct.
It's granular. Then it could
if the definition of defanos is that it takes on the shape of the container, So then I understand the potato doesn't take on the shape of the container, but rice or barley does take on the shape of the container. So one could argue that that's more dome to a davar lach, in that the defanels of the klisheni will impact on the barley. It will impact on the rice.
I thought we were establishing whether or not the
davar
gush itself has the status of the
klisheni. We are, but I also have to define what's called the davar gush. Our barley things or rice, is that a davar gush? So, if the yesod of davar gush, like the shach says, is that the defanos don't impact on it, so one could argue that by rice, the defanos do impact on it, and consequently rice would not be a davar gush.
Got it, but when it's on your plate and it's like touching it, where would the defanos in that scenario be?
Listen, a potato retains its heat inside it, right? And it doesn't matter if I put a potato in the klisheni, because the defanos of the klisheni don't impact on it. Therefore, if I have my potato on the plate, right, so it's a problem. My barley, since it would be impacted on by the defanos of the klisheni, so therefore it doesn't have the din of a davar gush. I'm not magdir it as a davar gush.
The din of davar gush is that, like, the davar gush retains the status of the kli that it can't.
Nachon. Right. One second. Mr. Blau has a other than Mr. Spurn.
So if we're defining a davar gush based on, like, how it's acted upon by defanos, doesn't it make a huge difference, and pretty much all the difference, on how small you cut it? So, like, if you have a potato, right, you could theoretically cut it into rice-sized bits, and then it would behave the same way as rice.
Oh, absolutely. I'm talking about, my kids make fun of the way I make challand, that I have, like, big chunks of potato, and they prefer smaller pieces of potato. It really depends on how you cut the potato. Agreed.
So, meaning, do we say that, like, lehalafa? So, like, if we said, like, if you cut a potato into fairly small chunks, like maybe the size of, like, a few beans, then they would no longer be considered a davar gush the same way as they would be if they were in larger chunks,
again,
say like a quarter of a potato.
They say this la halacha, if by they you mean me, yes. I like this approach. I like the approach that davar, even if you're machmer and davar gush, it's only on those things that do not accept the, for even if you're machmer and davar gush for bishul purposes, it's only on the full-fledged davar gush. I like that approach, yes.
So then, just to extend that, then could you say that, say, for even for a piece of meat, say that, obviously, you wouldn't inherently want to do this, but, like, if you like, pulled your beef, then... Then it might not be as much.
I would say a clunk of corned beef is a davar gush, like a whole chunk. But if I already cut it to small pieces, now again, if you're going to ask me exactly how small is small, I'll tell you I haven't got the foggiest idea. But in a bigadol sort of way, this is how I look at Judaism. Mr. Spurring, you had a comment?
No, sure.
Rice. I suggested that. It's possible. I'd prefer not saying that, because then they don't have lumpus. Okay. I'd rather say that it's dafka in order to have a shear to give. I can get to the same conclusion by pointing out that there are many achreinim who either deny davar gush entirely, right? Hallo, the Vilna Gaon in Simen Kufhei of Yeridea Os Yud Zayin has a raya from a Gemara. The Gemara at the beginning of Parak Kol HaBosar discusses that there's a din of ha'ala, Yeridea Simen Peches, right? I can't put basar and falav on the table at the same time. Why not? Zok the Gemara, well, I'm worried about something. I'm worried that they're going to get mixed up and you're going to cook them. And the Gemara basically says, Gezeira Shem Yala Be'ofis Roseach. Maybe I'm going to take like a hot frying pan, put it down on the table, I'm going to have Pasa B'Chalav. Frek the Gra, if Dover Gush is really a problem, why does the Gemara have to go to some far-fetched case of Ofis Roseach, which is just not so much in the Metzius? Just say that's a Dover Gush. I have a hot piece of meat, right? That's pretty reasonable in the Pasa B'Chalav context. So the Gemara says, you see from the Gemara that there's no din of Dover Gush. The Minchas Yaakov on the Bam the Torah Chatos says, no, that Gemara isn't such a raya, because it could be that Dover Gush is only for Bliya, not for Bishul, and my concern is right, for Bishul Basar B'Cholof of Halal. And the Minchas Yaakov writes, like the Shtickle Torah I said before, that even those who are machmir and Dover Gush are only machmir for purposes of Bliya, not for purposes of Bishul. It's beferish in the Minchas Yaakov. So I think it's a reasonable approach that Dover Gush is not Nogeya in Hilchos Shabbos at all, because it's, even if it's Nogeya, it's only for Bliya purposes. Or even if it's Nogeya for Bishul, like we said, there's a difference between potatoes and barley. The Mishnah Berurah does quote Dover Gush. The Magen Avraham does quote it. But it's a Chumrah. That means, and Reb Moshe Feinstein writes, that you're allowed to put ketchup on the potato, even though Reb Moshe's Magdir ketchup as a Dover Lach, but it's a Dover Lach Shinis Bashel. And we're not going to be Megabev Chumras. We're not going to put the Chumrah of Dover Gush together with the Chumrah of Dover Lach Shinis Bashel. That would mean, however, that if you're a Sfardi, according to Reb Moshe, that ketchup is Dino Kedavar Lach, but if you're a Sfardi who holds that Me'ikar Hadin, certainly there's a problem of Bishalach or Bishal by Dover Lach, so you should not put ketchup on your potatoes. Rabbi Willig, of course, says that even Ashkenazim feel that fundamentally there's Yesh Bishalach or Bishal by Dover Lach, but his other reading of the Rambam that we spoke about the other day, etc. Now, it's also likely, however, let me just finish the sentence. It's also likely that ketchup is not a Dover Lach at all. If the distinction between Lach and Yavesh is whether Uzla Le Bishule, when I heat water and then it cools down, the Bishul is no longer Nicker. But when I cook a tomato and it becomes a ketchup, right, the Bishul is certainly Nicker afterwards. So then, according to that Mahalach, ketchup is a Dover Yavesh, not a Dover Lach. The last case that Reb Shlomo Zalman discusses is there's a minig that people eat Yerushalmi kugel. Yerushalmi kugel is a Dover Gush. No, it's a chunk of hot Yerushalmi kugel. The minig is that people have a pickle with their Yerushalmi kugel. No? Isn't there an iser of Bishul on that pickle? Because you're putting the pickle. So Reb Shlomo Zalman writes, since Dover Gush is only a chumrah, and when you cook the pickle, it is making it worse, not making it better. It's a psik mesha d'loy nichalei. Right? You have no kavan to cook the pickle. You just want to add flavor to your Yerushalmi kugel. It's psik mesha d'loy nichalei on a chumrah. So Shlomo Zalman says you could be mekel. That's another reason why you could be mekel on the shaila of whether I need a separate plate for my chalent. Because the cha'ora of my chalent is cooking my lettuce leaf, I really don't want a lettuce leaf shenis spashel. Right? A lettuce leaf shenis spashel is a shayla, you might not be able to say the mitzvah mover with it, right? But you certainly don't want your lettuce leaf to be cooked. Mr. Kaufman.
Yeah. Isn't the svara that we're dealing with the orez, don't know how it is, I guess in this case, very... like situational, like if you have a mound, you can somehow have something you're defining as a liquid and make it into a mound where the walls are not really affecting it. Wouldn't that bring up the amount?
So I'm willing to say that. I think to some extent Mr. Blau was raising that issue beforehand.
That's true.
It could be it's a chumra or a kula. It really depends on, I think the difference between I think that the svara of Defanus Mekarareis makes sense by something that spreads out and the Defanus impact on it, and it takes on the shape of the container. That's how I think that's just the reasonable approach to the Taisus.
That's even true that if you have a liquid, that the container is not really impacted at all.
I mean, again, I don't know if that thing would be, let's say I have like pancake batter or something. Again, if it's a real liquid, it's going to take on the shape of the container, right? But I could have a substance which is viscous, like pancake batter. I don't know if that's considered a liquid for these purposes. That's right. I'm totally open to these possibilities. Okay. So that is my conversation about the Davar Gush, and now I have to remember what else I wanted to say. Yeah, there's another Shita LaHalacha by Davar Gush. We mentioned Davar Gush according to the Minchas. According to the Ramon, the Gra, it's not Mevashel at all. According to the Magen Avraham, Davar Gush is Mevashel. The Prima Godim in that piece in Yeredeas Min Sadi Daled, Mishpitzel Zohav Os Yud Daled, the Prima Godim says that Davar Gush with Duchka de Sakina is Mevashel. Davar Gush without Duchka de Sakina is not Mevashel. I have absolutely no Havana in why Duchka de Sakina should impact on Bishol. It just like, it doesn't work in my mind. I don't understand the Prima Godim at all. Okay, but it's a Prima Godim, so obviously we have to take it seriously. I want to move on. Now, we're talking about the difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, right? So we explained what that difference is based upon. There are three reasons, however, to be machmir on Bishul in a Kli Sheni. And we'll try to go through them. We might not finish today, but we'll begin. Reason number one to be machmir on Bishul in a Kli Sheni is what is called Mechzik Mevashel. Reason number two to be machmir on Bishul in a Kli Sheni is if something is called Kalei HaBishul. And reason number three, which we already discussed in the context of Shitas Rashi within the difference in Kli Mishnah and Kli Sheni, we spoke about the Chaya Adam of Yad Nechfesbay. That if something is super duper hot in a Kli Sheni, it could be its Mevashel as well. So let's take these three things, these three possible chumras in a Kli Sheni. What is the din of mechzik mevashel? So let's go back to our Mishnah on Kuf Mem Hei. Dover Shabba B'chamen Lufnei HaShabbos, Sherin Oisei B'chamen B'Shabbos, that's called Im Bishol Achar Bishol. Dover Shaloba B'chamen Lufnei HaShabbos, Madif Hanoso B'chamen B'Shabbos. Something that's not cooked, you're allowed to be madichen, which means you can pour the hot water on it. Why can I pour the hot water on something that is loy b'chamin lefnei haShabbos? Why is it mutter to pour hot water on it? So Taisus on Lamed Tes speaks, and Taisus says, well, if I hold like the Rashbam that Ibrei is dino kekli sheni, so it's move on hetev. According to the Rashbam, of course, davar shaloba b'chamin lefnei haShabbos, it's not cooked, but you're allowed to pour water on it because it's iroi, and iroi is not mevashel. So according to the Rashbam, all is grand. However, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, how come davar shaloba b'chamin lefnei haShabbos? How come it's madif and I say b'chamin b'Shabbos? How come I'm allowed to pour boiling water on an uncooked item, right? According to Rabbeinu Tam, that Iri is Mevashel, it should be a real problem. Azoy Frektaisus on Lamites. So Tosis answered that you have to know how to read the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Hei. When the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Hei says, Dover Shaloba Bechamin Lifnei HaShabbos Madichin Oso Bechamin, that means that you could pour water from a Kli Sheni onto Dover Shaloba Bechamin Lifnei HaShabbos. That's what Taisus writes. I could take water that's already in a Kli Sheni and pour it on my uncooked food. Wow, that's interesting. That would imply that according to the Rabbeinu Tam, I'm only allowed to do Iri M'Kli Sheni on something that's uncooked. But I can't take that uncooked substance and put it into a Kli Sheni. Farvus Nisht. Why not? Pachimunya, do I have to translate for all of you? How come you can't do it? Zoktaisis Mexican Mavashal. Mexican Mavashal means to put something in a cliche. The Pashtus is at some sort of Maris Ayin, right? A guy is going to walk into my house and he's going to think that I'm an Orthodox Jew, and he's going to see that I'm soaking a piece of meat in a cup on Shabbos, in a cup of hot water. He's going to say Schwartz is a Machal Shabbos. He's not going to know that the cup is a Kli Sheni instead of a Kli Rishon. Mexican Mavashel, chick chak boom. Right? That's what the Rabbinu, that's what the Tosfos on Lamed Tes suggests. Tosfos' second answer on Lamed Tes, however, is that the Mishnah, when it says Dover Shaloba Bachamin Lufne Hashabis, Madichan also Bachamin, the Mishnah says that there are two exceptions, Koyus Ispinin and Dag Maliach. Those are the things that we're going to talk about later on. Those are called Kali Habishal. Meaning, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that Iri is Mavashel. Iri from a Kli Sheni is Mavashel, these Kali Habishal things. But if something is not Kali Habishal, it's mutter to put it into a Kli Sheni. Again, that's Chazar. There are two opinions in Tosfos on Lamed Tes, whether there is a din of Mechzik HaMavashel in a Kli Sheni. Right? We're working within the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. How come Madichan Osei B'chamin B'shabbos? Right? So Tosfos says, oh, Madichan Osei from a Kli Sheni. The first opinion Tosfos would say that, oh, that indicates that you can't put something into a Kli Sheni, because Mechzik HaMavashel in a Kli Sheni. The second opinion in Tosfos says, no. Second opinion in Tosfos says that the chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam is that Kali Habishal are usher even with Iroi Mekli Sheni. But there is no such thing. There is no Isser at all called Mechzik HaMavashel, according to the second opinion in Tosfos. Magen Avram, Rabbi Abraham Gumbiner, died in the year 1684. The Magen Avram Tainus that, by the way, when we say that he died in 1684, we don't say when he was born. The Pashta says we don't know when a lot of these Gedolim were born, because he was born, he was just a kid named Avram. He became the Magen Avram later on in life. And my own grandmother, she had no idea when she was born. She was like, I was either born in 1908 or 1910. Like, what does that mean? She had no idea. Ad Yom Mosa, she had no idea when she was born, because her passport said 1910, but her aunt said she was born in 1908, and they just changed the age on the passport for some reason. And she's like, I don't know if my aunt was telling the truth. My grandmother, you probably don't remember my grandmother, but your father still remembers my grandmother. Yeah. Okay. It's a thing. Right? People have no idea when they're born. We don't know when the Magen Avram was born. So the Magen Avram in Sifkot and Tesavov paskins that there's a din of Mechzikim of Ashel. The Mishnah Brura in a few places writes that there's an Isser of Mechzikim of Ashel. But in Rabbi Willig's book, English page 50, Hebrew page Samach, Zayin Samaches, Rabbi Willig tries to show that there are steers in the Magen Avram in the Mishnah Brura as to whether you hold a Mechzikim of Ashel. The Kitzar Ma'aseh, if I hold of Mechzikim of Ashel, I don't really have kulas in the Kli Sheni, unless it's something that I know for certain is not Nisvashel in the Kli Sheni. The Gemara speaks about a few substances which we call Chomrei Habishal, which we know for sure are not Nisbashal in a Kli Sheni. The Chomrei Habishal are Shemen and Mayim and Tavron. Right? The Tavron, the Mishnah Membeis says you're allowed to put Tavron in a Kli Sheni. We're not going to argue on the Mishnah. Mayim and Shemen. Mayim is a Beferish in Mishnah Memalef. Shemen, the Gemara talks about Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avimi and Rabbi Huda Hanosi, and they're in the Beis HaMerchatz one time, and they want to take a pach shel shemen to use it for bathing. So he said, Tol b'kli sheni b'tein, meaning take the water in the kli sheni and put the shemen into the kli sheni. So you see that by shemen, it's also what we call chaymei habish, or it doesn't cook in the kli sheni. Mayim, shemen, and tavan by the chaymei habishal. By everything else, the Mishnah Berurah assumes you are not allowed to put it into a kli sheni, and that is going to be for two reasons. One reason is because of this din of mechsikim habashal. The other reason that we probably will have to discuss tomorrow is because the Mishnah Berurah has a very broad definition of what are called kalei habishal. Right? But let's talk about the chaymei habishal for a minute. The stuff that zichar, I'm allowed to put into a kli sheni. Tavlin, mayim, and shemen. Mr. Siegel.
Yeah, when we're talking about this,
Again, so that's an interesting point. Like, that's sort of the conversation that we have about melach, about salt, right? It's not
something like coffee, which the grounds are dissolving, and you're not.
I think those who are machmir on kli sheni, the pashtus might be that mechsika mevashel only applies on something that remains inside, but the din of kalei habishel might apply on other stuff, right? We could split between these two categories. I think that's fair. So chomei habishel, tavlin is chomei habishel, right? The Mishnah tells me that you're allowed to put tavlin. Tavlin, you can't put tavlin in a kli rishon, but you can put tavlin into a ka'ar, into a kli sheni, or to a tamkli. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoting the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, that he says that the tavlin that we have bizman hazeh is not the tavlin in the Mishnah, because our tavlin are very small, very thin, well ground, and therefore our tavlin cook even in a kli sheni, and the tavlin that they had in their times didn't. In the Orchos Shabbos, he says, what you talking about? That the tavlin at the time of the Mishnah wasn't ground very finely. The Mishnayos and Beitza speak about, I have a maducha, I have like a grinder to grind the tavlin. Right? They ground their tavlin in their time. It wasn't that like you have like a cinnamon stick. No? I can understand a cinnamon stick, right, is different than ground cinnamon. But bizmanehem, they also had ground cinnamon. So the Orchos Shabbos does not like this approach of Shlomo Zalman. Now, when I say that tavlin is mutter in the kli sheni, how come? How come there is no Mechsika mevashel on the tavlin? I understand that tavlin is not going to cook in kli sheni, it's a chaymei habishel. But shouldn't there be Mechsika mevashel? So Tosfos writes on Lamed Tes that even if you hold a mechsikim mevashel, it doesn't apply by tavlin, because tavlin is only there lemetuke kedera. Tavlin is only there to sweeten the pot. Meaning, if you walk by my house and you see that I'm cooking, you're not going to say that I'm cooking oregano. You're going to say I'm cooking a piece of meat that, right? The oregano is batel mevutal lo sharir v'lo kayam. Right? The oregano is lemetuke kedera. The din of mechsika mevashel in the sense of being a, what's it called? Mechsika mevashel in the sense of a maris ayin doesn't apply, zok Tosfos, to tavlin. So tavlin, there is no din of mechsika mevashel at all. Adkan. It's already 12:45, so Yiras Hashem, tomorrow we'll have to pick up with the other Chomrei Habishal, and then we'll talk about the Kalei Habishal. So again, what we're trying to figure out are what are the things that I'm machmir on in the Kli Sheni, and we have three categories, right? We have Mechzikim Habashal, Kalei Habishal, and Yad Nefes. Those are the three categories. We're kind of in between the two categories, but we're focused more on Mechzikim Habashal. We're saying that there's no Mechzikim Habashal on Tavlin. Tavlin is what we call Chomrei Habishal, and what we'll speak about tomorrow is that there are two other things, Mayim and Shemen, which are also Chomrei Habishal. Okay, gentlemen, questions, comments? Mr. Kamenetsky, how are you? Anyone who wants to leave, by the way, don't be embarrassed. Like, Mr. Kamenetsky won't be hurt.
Why would the word be that it's not necessary
to wash all
because it can't cook?
Because Tavlin can't cook at all?
No, the whole point is that these things don't cook in the Kishani, and it's not necessary to wash all because it can't cook in the Kishani.
So I would say that you're partially right, and I was thinking of not saying this, but the Ur Zarua says it your way. The Ur Zarua writes that Tavon is not Mechzikim Mevashel, because Tavon, it's not Shayach Bishalon, since the flavor of Tavon would come out even Bitsonein, the category of Bishal is not Shayach the Tavon. That's the way the Ur Zarua says it. If you think about it, there are a few nafkaminas between the Ur Zarua's Mahalach and the Taisus's Mahalach, but for the time being, I was learning the Taisus with you about Mechzikim Habashal, and Taisus has his approach within Tavlin, and that it's from Tukei Kedera. The Ur Zarua has a different approach. Fair. Okay.
Between categories, because it sounds like we're saying by the official concern and the Mechzikim Habashal, or you have neither. Is there something that's like not Chomrei, but also not Kalei Habishal?
Not Chomrei Habishal, maybe. I mean, or maybe that's normal Judaism, that most stuff is not Kalei Habishal nor Chomrei Habishal, and maybe I don't hold to this concept of Mechzikim Habashal at all. You have to remember, it's 2 days in Taisus, right. And there's a steer in the Mishnah Baran and the Magen Avraham, how I pass it. I think the Velt is not so machmir Mechzikim Habashal. The Velt is much more into the conversation about Kalei Habishal. Okay, any other comments, Chevron?
One can cook Torah because Torah Tavlin.
One can cook Torah. Thank you very much. Okay. Shkoyach. Have a great day, guys. Close up.